That was the fabulous Limerick band Kingfisher there. They have just done a two-night sold-out run in the Three Olympia, and they are a band whose star is definitely on the rise. That was Shot in the Dark from them. Beautiful track. Just wanted to remind you about our quiz, our whodunit quiz, which we are going to run after 4 o'clock today. It is for a fabulous two-night stay at the New Look Hotel Killarney. And all you've got to do to be in with a chance of winning is answer this question. Which Dolly Parton song has Beyoncé covered in her new album, Jolene or Darlene? That's an easy one. So give us a call now. 0818 715 925. That is the number. 0818 715 925. And we'll get two of you on air after 4 o'clock. All right. Best Man is a show written by friends and comics Mikey Fleming and Coleman Hayes. It had a sellout run in Edinburgh Festival last year. It's coming back to the Irish stage at the end of the month. And 35-year-old Cahill in it gives this cut-off-the-cuff speech at the wedding of his last remaining single friend. As you can imagine, it descends into a little bit of chaos. Actor and writer Coleman Hayes is fresh off the stage from London and joins me now in studio. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you very much.
Well, because you do a video a day, which is your thing, which we'll talk about a little bit later, yeah. I know that you were feeling under the weather, to say the least, when you were in London trying to get home. How are you feeling now?
I'm feeling just as bad, and I want everyone in RT to know that. No, I'm feeling great. I'm like well rested. I'm still a little like recuperating, but I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling cool. Like there's no one needs to worry.
No one needs to worry. We're not back at that stage yet. Come here. As I said, London, and I know that the reaction to the show has been amazing. The run went really well.
Yeah, in London and in Edinburgh. Yeah, we sold out at the Fringe in Edinburgh, and then we got taken on to do these 2 days in London.
Yeah.
In this new theatre called like Underbelly Boulevard. It's in the West End. So like for us, it was a dream come true to just do it at the West End. But it's weird to say it because it feels sort of slightly egotistical, but I'm like, we crushed it. We absolutely smashed it. So, like,
I love that. Yeah. I love to hear that.
I think maybe it's like the Irishness of sure you know and sure we tried.
It's
and
all
sure
right.
We,
yeah. All right.
But the first night was really good. But I think, you know, when you start something new or when you're doing something again after a while, the first night's maybe a little like, what's the rails here? Where are we keeping? And then the second night is like, okay, yeah, let's have a bit more loose with it. So,
okay, well, tell us about the show. I did a little riff at the beginning to kind of give people a sense of it, but give it to us in a nutshell.
So the show is about a guy giving a best man speech at the wedding of his last remaining single friend.
Mm-hmm.
But that's sort of maybe what it is on the surface. Excuse me. And then on like really what it's about is the choices that you make and don't make and how they maybe impact you and where they leave you in life. You know, it's almost trying to try and just capture. I think what actually instigated the feeling of the show was this, or instigated the writing, was a feeling me and Mikey had, who's the co-writer and director, of like being left behind while all of your friends are moving on. And it caused us to kind of have a bit of introspection and be like, okay, we must have played some part in this moment. So it's really that feeling is what drove a lot of the play. Yeah, but do you really resonated with it when they watched it? Or people of a certain age really resonated with it?
Well, just when you say that, I mean, it does resonate when you think back to, like, I'm in my mid-40s now, but at that time when you were either coming out of college or particularly when you were finished college and starting, and there was that part of your life where you just felt, what way am I going to go?
Yeah. And you're like, I guess I'll do this. It's also kind of random and as to where it leads. And I suppose this play almost then is like, well, this is what it could lead to. Yeah. Myself and Mikey view it as a warning to other people, younger people than us, being like, here, don't do what this guy did, you know, take a bit more ownership.
Well, we talked about Edinburgh. You sold out there, and it is very difficult to make a success of a show at the Fringe. I know from interviewing people down through the years. I mean, if you sold out on night one, and if you do that, you kind of, you're on the pig's back, as they say. But it takes a lot of legwork. Like, it takes a lot to promote the show, to get it out there, especially if you're going in as somebody who
had no profile.
Yeah.
No, completely. Like, and I think as well, like, it takes, but like, it's weird. Even the shows that don't do as well in Edinburgh, they put in all the same, like, you got to put in all this work in the hope that you like build that momentum. Mm. But like, I think we'd a few things going for us. But this is me looking back and trying to make sense as to how it happened. Like,
But well, the subject matter is so relatable, I think. Yeah. The fact that everybody has weddings. You know what I mean? Did you have to change the show when you brought it to Edinburgh from what you had run in Ireland?
We only had to change about three lines of the show. But we found the show very sellable on the street as well. So I think we had pretty decent ticket sales before we even got to Edinburgh. But as it turns out, I'm quite a good seller of the show on the street. But that's because our show was so fun to sell. Because you go up to people on the street in Edinburgh. And of course, in Edinburgh, it's okay to talk to people in the street. sounds like another place of the world. You're not meant, but like, as in, it's okay to approach them about a show. And I'd be like, you're invited to the wedding. And they'd be like, what? I'm like, oh, they'd love to see you at the wedding now. And then immediately they're kind of being pulled. And I'm like, they always talk about you, you know. And then you can kind of sell them on the show. But yeah, so we did a unique show, a unique selling point, and a very relatable show. Like, a guy goes off the rails. So many people have best man speeches where they're like, it's like it's almost traumatic to the marriage. But
the best or worst one that you've put into the show?
What's the best one that me and Mikey have taken?
Yeah.
We've taken actually, to be honest, every best man speech I've seen. Oh no, that's not true. And I can't. I can't
now.
Say because I know.
Well, here's a few from some of our listeners that have come in. One best man speech. The most surreal was at a mate's wedding where the best man read out a speech that was like the Gettysburg Address, word for word. That was 30 years ago, and I'm still in shock. Says one. Leanne said, Catherine, my fella had to do a best man speech at the weekend. It's definitely painful for all involved. I was reciting that speech in my sleep by the end of it. That's a thing, you know. You kind of. It's not just you. It's if it's your partner there as well. You're there. You're the eyes and ears.
They're in on the. It's the same. Well, so ironically, it's because I'm almost bringing it back to the play, but I suppose like learning the lines for the play. But the play is sort of unique in that, similar but unique, that like the guy who's giving the best man speech has forgotten the speech, so he's riffing.
Yes.
He's like within the first 30 seconds, not giving anything away. He's like, oh, I forgot my speech. I'm just going to riff. But of course, it's all written up by us. But like it allows him to really go off the wall in the best man speech while trying to in his head stay within the structure of it. Like he tries to bring up a story about the bride, which is awful. He brings up a story about the groom, which is terrible. And he tries to compliment people and somehow puts his foot in it. But yeah. So it's very.
Is there audience interaction as well?
There is. We say immersion only just so we don't scare audience members away. If we say interaction, I think people think they're going to help form the show. It is, if you're in the audience, you're part of the congregation, like bearing
witness.
At the wedding,
you're the wedding guest.
So
I love it.
I might, if you were there, let's say if you were in the front row, which is probably no people are not going to sit in the front row, I'd be like, it's John and Rebecca's wedding. I'd be like, John, Rebecca, how are you? And then it's just like a simple, like, we're good, we're bad, we're
brilliant.
Enjoying the day. It's like a very non-invasive, and I might just direct some of my speech to you. If I'm like, sure, myself and John, and I'll direct that at John. And if I'm talking about the mother-in-law, I look at the mother-in-law. So it's very softly
interactive. Yeah. Love it. And come here, you are somebody who's very open about your own dating life. I was saying that you make a video a day about your life. And as part of that, you talk about the good, the bad and the not so great side of meeting new people.
I didn't realise I was open about it till other people said it to me, but apparently I am. I mean, I've been like, I put it, I suppose I started doing a video a day and sure, if I went on dates, I was like, well, this is what I'm doing today, so you get to see this.
But people are very interested
in
that side.
No one cares the best man sold out in Edinburgh, by the way. Like, no one cares.
They just
that was
know,
phenomenal.
Have you clinched a date tonight?
Yes. They're like, whatever about best man, Coleman, tell us about this date in Lisbon. But like, I mean, it is. No, it is. I suppose it's immediately, there's immediately something on the line because everyone, it's like, it's so relatable, right?
Yeah.
Like trying to find love, trying to do all that stuff. So I totally get it. And to be honest, I'm grateful for it. It brings more. I'm happy for it. But yeah, sorry. Very open, I guess.
So you're single. You're dating.
I'm single. I'm dating. I go on dates. I don't know if I'm dating. For me, that sounds like I'm actively seeking a girlfriend. I don't know. This might come as news to anyone who watches me. But I'm more, from my perspective, I'm out there seeing what's out there. And if there's someone out there, I'd be like, oh, great. But I'm not like, I need to find a girlfriend here now.
I get you.
Oh my God.
But I'd imagine if this has kind of become a thing on TikTok, because I know one video that you made about going to Lisbon for a first date, it went viral. It had like 1.4 million views.
I would argue that wasn't a first date. So me and her, So I was in Edinburgh for the Fringe. I'm not trying to just keep bringing it back to Best Man. For Best Man at the Fringe, but I took a week's holiday in Edinburgh, or in Lisbon.
In Lisbon, we
matched, and I went home, and we were talking.
Right.
And we were talking for like 6 or 7 weeks, and then we FaceTimed. Like, so by the time I came to flying to Lisbon, even though it was the first time meeting, it didn't feel like a first
date.
I didn't feel, you know what I mean? So like, but only because I've had people say to me like, will you fly to Australia? And I'm like, I don't know who you are.
But when you met her, did she know that you had kind of been preempting and telling everybody about this date that you were going to Lisbon?
No, well,
to do?
So,
go
okay,
on.
So she knew I was doing a video a day, but I didn't do the date in Lisbon until the day I was flying there. But I think she knew I was going to do it. But like at that point, no one was watching, Catherine. So she was like, yeah, what harm? Like no one cares. And then suddenly like that blew up. She's like, okay. But like even before I did that, I think I said, like I even made sure in the video you couldn't, if you slowed it down, I made sure like you could not see.
Couldn't see her.
Her name or her photo. Because
sure.
Like ultimately from my perspective, it's you're seeing my POV of my life and not anyone else's. So I didn't want her in it either. And then it almost becomes fun because like I had her shadow and I'm like, I could feel people like, you know, they're like, oh God, I just want to like, they want to get more information.
Because I'm sure when it comes to dating as well, there'd be girls who kind of, you know, would find that sort of, you know, funny and interesting. And then others who would just be like, even if I'm very attracted to him, that's not my, it's not my bag at all.
It's become a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
So one, people who I feel like, as you were saying, who may have never given me an opportunity. What a harsh way of phrasing it. No, who like, suddenly having the videos, it allows them to maybe see more of who I am.
Sure.
And they're like, oh, wow, okay, I get a better sense of who this guy is. But then because of the videos, like, but I want to stay away from that. There was one person who like reached out and they were like, we'd matched and we were chatting. But they were like, the videos scared them away. And then there's other people who I've met up with and I'm like, I think you're here because of the videos.
I get it.
Yeah.
After August, because when you started doing your video a day, it was in Edinburgh, it was at the Fringe, and then you decided to keep it going. Will you finish up in August or will you keep it going?
I don't know is the honest answer. I'll definitely keep something going.
Yeah.
But because everything that's come into my life in the last... 8 months now at this point has been lovely and like really cool, and I don't want that to stop, so I'll happily keep going. I might maybe pull it back to maybe 5 videos a week or something, but
sure.
I don't know, the reason I started doing a video a day is because I knew if I said 2 videos a week I'd become like a perfectionist about those two, and here I'm like, well, I just have to throw it out, I just have to lash it out. Yeah.
Well, come here, huge congrats again. Tell us when and where people can see the show in Dublin in Ireland.
Yes, sorry, thank you. Yeah. So it's on in the Fumbly Cafe on April 26th and 27th, and we're actually almost sold out in both of those dates. So if you'd like to come and see it's sold out at the Fringe. It was Playbills, which is the theatre magazine. It was their pick of the Fringe. Like, so other people have said it's good, you know.
It's worth a watch. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, as I said, it's Best Man, Coleman Hayes, writer and star of The One Man Show. Lovely to meet you and good luck on the dating scene as well.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Back after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.